New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. We at New Dimensions thank you for your support.
Hello, I'm Justine Willis-Toms. Welcome to the New Dimensions Cafe. Today I'm hosting Andrew Forstoffel, and he is the author of Walking to Listen, 4,000 Miles Across America, One Story at a Time. Andrew, welcome to the New Dimensions Cafe.
Thank you.
When you decided to start this walk, 4,000 miles, you started in Philadelphia, you're a new graduate from college, and you've got a lot of questions, and you're starting to walk. One of the things that struck me right in the beginning was many times you're walking along a highway, and that actually is a very alien place. We think, okay, mostly we're walking around and everything's really easy, but that wasn't so easy.
Yeah, I mean, the highway was not designed for humans. The highway was designed for cars. And so when you are walking on the highway outside of a car, you sort of realize that it's an alien place and it's also hostile. You know, you're inches away from these screaming metal monsters, you know? And what I came to sort of see was that the highway connects by disconnecting. You know, it connects you from one city to the next by disconnecting you from the actual place that you're traveling through and the people who live there. And so by choosing to walk, I was choosing connection. I was choosing to feel the land and all of the elements and get to actually know the people who lived in those places, or at least open myself to knowing, you know. And I was only one part of the mutual exchange that is a connection. But I was, you know, opening myself to that. And then the people who chose to dance with me, well, we got to know each other, you know. So, I mean, driving is convenient and fast, but it severs you from pretty much everything but yourself.
Yeah, right.
And actually, maybe severs you from yourself as well, because in connecting with nature and people, I came to see how I am so deeply interconnected to everyone and everything else. And so there's this sort of illusion of separation in the car, and it's just not true. And walking had a way of kind of obliterating that illusion in my own experience.
And now, you're not suggesting that walking was always pleasant. Most of the time it wasn't. It could be boring, lonely.
Yeah.
You're not comfortable.
Yeah.
You've got blisters.
Right.
You've got a backpack that weighs over 50 pounds,
yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. By immersing myself in a situation basically every day where I was in a lot of discomfort and even in a lot of physical pain and psychic pain too, you know, loneliness, confusion, whatever. By facing all those things and surviving, you know, like the loneliness isn't going to kill me after all, that kind of a thing. Or like, oh yeah, the foot pain sucks, but it's not going to kill me. I can include this in my experience too. It made me realize how resilient I can be. And it also made me realize that I don't have to run from these things that I've been running from for so long. You know, loneliness or yeah, physical discomfort too.
Yeah. And the fear of meeting people that are other than yourself.
Right.
Or even approaching, like you're looking for a place to stay and you like to get permission to like camp out on someone's property. And sometimes you couldn't do that. So you'd call that stealth
camping. Sneak away somewhere.
So sometimes you would approach a door and here you are, a young man, you're 23 years old and you're walking up to a door. That's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was getting okay with being told no and not letting the prospect of rejection stop me from reaching out in the first place. You know, there were lots of times where people asked me to move on or where I waved to people from the highway and they didn't wave back. And that became a practice in non-reciprocal behavior, you know? So someone says no, am I going to let that take me into a world of no? no, I'm going to keep saying yes. I'm going to keep walking with this intention to listen and be open and connect. And if you don't want to connect, that's fine. So I think getting told no and getting people who actually weren't into what I was doing was important in learning how to actually not be affected by the worldviews of other people in ways that would detract from my mission to understand and ultimately love.
So it's going back to the only thing you can do is what your response to that would be.
Right. And it's so, I mean, we're all, so many of us, myself included, are triggerable and,
sure.
and trigger happy. And how to just breathe into that intention.
There are so many people that you met and you have story after story after story of their generosity and kindness. You meet these people, these are just grand hellos that you've learned something very special. You've shared some meal or something very special with them, heard a story they've revealed to you that's very authentic and deeply felt, and you're receiving that, and then you say goodbye. So, I mean, along the way, it's hello, goodbye, hello, goodbye, over and over and over again. And what have you learned from that aspect of the walk?
Well, I began to learn how to say goodbye and getting to practice that in those situations that were ultimately sort of smaller. It's the only way to learn how to say those bigger goodbyes, you know, which you can't really prepare for until they're happening. You know, the goodbye I'm going to have to say to my mother when she dies, or my father, my siblings. You know, there was a man in Alabama, an old man named Bill Guy, who I asked, how do you survive all the goodbyes? And he said, you'll know. When your mama dies, your daddy dies, you'll grieve. And when your brother and sister die, you'll grieve just about as bad. You got lots of grieving to do, he said. And getting told that as a young person, just getting told the truth, so unedited, the punch was not pulled. And I'm grateful to him because it had a way of working itself into my heart such that the interactions I have with people now and the connections that I do make with people now are a little more conscious, you know, conscious that the more love I make, the more grief I'll grieve. And that's okay. That's actually integrating the goodbye into the hello. Starting a relationship, knowing full well that it will end, I'm learning, has a way of enriching what's possible in that relationship and relieving someone of the burden of having to live forever, this impossibility, you know, and allowing them to be who they are, which includes their goodbye.
I hear you. I can recall a moment when my husband and I were part of a circle of doing some shamanic work, and someone suggested, oh, well, you know, you won't always be together. And at that point, I couldn't imagine myself without my partner. You know, we were together. I just imagined us going on forever. And I challenged the thought. And they said, well, one of you is going to die. And it wasn't until that moment that I really realized what you just said, that all of it is transitory in some way. But that doesn't mean that we don't live the fullness of it.
Yeah. And actually, it's in accepting, embracing, and even loving the death of a thing that you become able to love the fullness of it, experience the fullness of it.
And to experience that sadness is to experience being alive.
Yeah, it's a part of it. It's an important part of it. Yeah, and we have this like strange idea in this culture, this sort of sugar-coated, put-on-a-happy-face culture that sadness is not okay or it's bad in some way or it means that you're, you know, sick or something. And I would just love to see grief destigmatized in American culture. I would love to live in a place where it was okay to be a mess. It was okay to be sad. It's okay to be angry. You know, it's okay. And I'm just less and less interested in that sort of, you know, perpetual smiley face, you know?
And when you say it's okay to be angry, it's not okay to act it out and hurt another.
Well, what I mean by that, is it can allow for certain breakthroughs and insights that wouldn't be possible if, you know, one was unwilling to just embody anger for a moment. But as you're suggesting, malice can so quickly and subtly slip into the expression of anger. And right, of course, it's not okay to cause harm. And the tricky thing about expressing anger is that a single word can become a dagger. You know, a single word can change something from being simply the expression of anger into a weapon. And so being very vigilant and judicious with how I choose to express this challenging emotion and staying connected to compassion, connected to the intention to connect and understand.
I know that since your walk, you've been doing some conflict resolution work, and I would imagine that this is part of that, is
it? Exactly. It's learning how to, again, become a trustworthy listener, which means learning how to witness someone in their anger or grief or rage or whatever, allowing for all of that and honoring every piece of it. And also remembering that if someone chooses to show you that, that's a gift they're giving you. You know, if they're choosing to say, hey, I'm going to do away with this pretense of the smiley face, and I'm going to show you how upset I am, that they're honoring you in that way. And then also learning how to tell your story, to sing your song without causing harm in the process.
Right. So it's helpful when two people come together that are willing to be in that openness with one another.
Wonderful when that happens, and also very rare when that happens. And so, again, a part of this apprenticeship to listening, in my experience, has been being willing to take that first step, even when someone else isn't. You know, because if I'm going to wait for the conditions to be just so to start living in the world that I know is possible, I'm going to be waiting forever. A world of connection and truth and reconciliation, if I'm going to wait for you to take the first step, and if I'm seeing everyone in that way, no one's ever going to take the first step, and it's hard to take the first step, but that's the sacrifice we can make. And if I take the first step and you don't, well, that's okay too. And I'm not going to let that stop me from continuing to take that step.
I want to just tell our listeners that Andrew is speaking from a place of taking a year out of his life to walk across America. He recorded hours.
85 hours and hundreds of unrecorded, surely.
And he's put some of the highlights of that in a book, and I highly recommend it. Andrew, thank you so much for being part of the New Dimensions Cafe today.
Thanks, Justine.
I've been speaking with Andrew Forstuffel, and he's the author of Walking to Listen, 4,000 Miles Across America, One Story at a Time. And his website, if you want to find more information about his work, you can go to it, livingtolisten.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms, and I want to thank you for joining us on the New Dimensions Cafe and invite you, please do join us again.
You've been listening to the New Dimensions Cafe. This series of shorter interviews features many of the remarkable guests also featured on our internationally syndicated one-hour New Dimensions radio series. To access more than 1,000 hours of programs, to subscribe to our newsletters, or to become a member, please visit us at newdimensions.org. New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. We at New Dimensions thank you for your support.